Hey everybody, this is Dan Young with Total Wellness Radio. Thank you so much for making us a part of your day. In this episode, 243, Craig and I tackle the topic of bronchitis, the signs and symptoms, possible causes, nutrient applications, and dietary lifestyles that you can make changes with to actually restore, rebuild, and repair health naturally when you're dealing with bronchitis. And this is recorded from our live Country Doctor Wellness Wednesday. You can tune in and catch us live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Mountain Time on our Facebook page, Country Doctor Nutritional Center. So sit back, enjoy this episode. Thank you again for making us a part of your day. Be blessed. Talk to you soon. Hey, good day, everybody.
Good afternoon, all.
We hope you're all having a wonderful, safe, and happy Wednesday. Today's our Country Doctor Wellness Wednesday Live. And this is Craig. It's not Becca.
Imagine that.
We are going to talk about a topic that very common this time of year.
Yep.
A little earlier, maybe February, March. You know, more so yep. in that time of year. And it's also something that Craig has personal experience with.
Yes, I do.
Getting over and staying over for many years. For the most part, last what 7-8 years.
Yeah,
something like that.
About the last ten. Since I started with you.
Okay. And the topic today is bronchitis.
Yep.
Very common. It is a, it can be brought on by, infection, obviously. Mm-hmm. Inflammation, sensitivities.
Food test sensitivities.
Food.
Are very important.
Yeah, it hits the bronchioles.
The tubules.
Areas in the bronchioles that branch off into the lungs. And for some people, it can be extremely painful.
It can be painful.
Was yours real painful?
No.
No.
But it made it hard for me to cough, and I was constantly congested very, very badly.
Did it ever develop into pneumonia with you? That you're aware of?
About 30 years ago.
Yeah.
I had 2 years in a row, I got pneumonia after getting chronic.
Yeah. Hey, Susan.
Hi, Susan.
Glad you're here. Okay. So
that was really scary both times.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of the other symptoms, a lot of coughing, a lot of fatigue.
High fever.
People that visit hospitals a lot tend to be more susceptible.
Yeah.
According to the literature.
Yeah.
The reason for that is that you're exposed to an environment that is so sterile in some ways, but in other ways, some of the most potent bugs that you can be exposed to live in that area.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And every time, there's a lot of people in there that are very ill, and, they'll cough, and then they'll touch something, and then you come behind and touch it and pick it up. It's just, it's kind of like everything that we're dealing with.
Yeah. Pain and soreness in the chest area.
Mm-hmm.
Even to the touch.
Yeah.
People can say just even to the touch on the outside. They don't have to cough or anything. Just even putting pressure there can really be problematic.
But it definitely hurts when you cough.
So some of the most common causes that I see, number one I find is food sensitivities usually. Some kind of food being consumed that is leaving a residue behind that the body just can't deal with. It's getting in the lungs.
And one of the dairy, number ones is dairy.
Dairy. Eggs or milk? Milk drinkers
suffer the worst.
Milk drinkers need it. Unless you're milking the cow or the goat, don't drink milk.
And
it's nothing more than pus in a jug, the kind that you get from the grocery store.
Yeah.
Hey, Laurel. Thanks for joining us. If you get it directly from the cow or directly from the goat,
it's got a lot of good natural things in it that will help to actually prevent this.
Yeah. But the stuff that they process and then put into a jug at the grocery stores, the stuff that's been tampered with, pasteurized, homogenized.
Yeah, they basically killed everything that was healthy.
Yeah, yeah, it's not going to be a good...
And what it does is it causes a bunch of mucus, and when you've got bronchitis, you've already got mucus on your lungs, so you keep adding to it, and it just makes it harder and harder for the body to fight it off.
Yeah. One of the... one of the things that this reminds me of is probably good to mention, because a lot of people, I feel, practitioners even. We kind of, we miss the boat a little bit in how to properly educate a person about a cough or soreness or mucus or phlegm or, you know, breathing difficulties or all this. We tend to think that that's the problem, right? And the real, or an infection, okay? And what these are, every single one of them are symptoms of the problem, okay? The weak or faulty immune system.
I was just going to say the...
the actual...
A weak immune system will set you up for this quicker than anything else.
Yeah.
And it can be any form of immune system weakness.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if it's weak for virus, parasites, fungus, bacteria. You and I both know from checking people that there's really not such a thing. You know, the parasite could actually be a virus, but it's presenting as a parasite. Yes. I mean, there's so many different... Pathology is an amazing ecosystem in itself, in that these bugs, right, they want to thrive. They're just looking for a place they can hang out, do their thing, and thrive.
And we all have them, and they're constantly in us. But if our immune systems are up to snuff, it can keep them all in control. If our gut is in good shape, it can fight off bad bacteria, bad fungus, bad viruses. You know, and that's one of the biggest things that people don't realize is it's not the pathology itself. It's your body's inability to fight it off.
That's right.
Like it usually does. It keeps it under control.
Yeah.
But there's times when we get weakened.
Yep.
And it can be from, it's usually from some kind of environmental or food-related thing that weakens our system. And then our bodies can't fight the way that they're supposed to.
Yep.
You know, that's why proteolytic enzymes are one of the best things that you can do when you have this
kind
of stuff.
Anything going on with breathing, sinuses, congestion, glands, enzymes.
Because it helps
three times a day away from food.
Yeah.
And when I say away from food, we've done recently kind of upped our position on how to do that really, really successfully. Three times a day, 1 hour before meals or 2 hours after meals. You want to make sure that digestive tract, the stomach especially, has a real good chance to clear out so that you're not just burning up those proteolytic enzymes in the use of of digestion. You want it to go after the debris and the inflammation in the tissue. That's why you're using it that way, away from food.
And a lot of times, I mean, I would take four times a day because I'd take three before I go to bed at night.
Yeah, that's
because
true.
Because during my sleep time is when your body's resting and trying to heal. Mm-hmm. And if you've got that extra stuff in there, it helps to bring down that inflammation. You know, that's the big thing about proteolytics is they actually help to bring down inflammation in there. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of what causes the mucus in the lungs is that inflammation. Yeah. And it won't allow the body to get rid of the mucus.
And the unhealthy nature of the cell itself, right? Which comes to like one of the first, like what is one of the most natural sources of vitamin E that we use in this office?
Wheat germ oil.
Wheat germ oil. Good quality wheat germ oil, pearls, 3 to 6 a day, again, away from food. It's nature's vitamin E. Well, what's vitamin E? Classified as an antioxidant. What's an antioxidant? It protects against oxidative stress and oxidation. So antioxidant is kind of like the term antibiotic. When it's present, bacteria can't be. So when good antioxidants, vitamin E and vitamin C, I think is listed.
Vitamin C.
And I'll let you give them some really great sources for vitamin C. And this time of year, we should be having some of these things anyways, okay? It protects, vitamin E protects the membrane of the cell. From being attacked, vitamin E protects the inner area of the cell, adding back integrity to the cell quality so it can perform part of its job, get rid of mucus, okay? Mm-hmm.
And protect the inside, strengthens the outside.
Where vitamin C to the exterior adds that protective layer, like rose hips, Spanish orange, acerola cherries. Look for those, minimum 1,000 milligrams a day. As a protective agent to add into the system.
And not ascorbic acid, folks.
Thank you.
Please.
Yeah, not ascorbic
acid. Just
because
it says 10,000 milligrams of vitamin C, and you read the back and it says, as in ascorbic acid, look for some of the natural things, like he said, you know, the cherries, lemons, limes, oranges, good quality.
Whole food whole sources. Food. Whole food sources.
Preferably organic because they have they're higher in the natural vitamin C.
And no additional chemicals that could trigger more inflammation, i.e. more symptoms of bronchitis.
Zinc is another thing that's really good when you're suffering from this.
Yeah, zinc is a big one.
Because it's an antioxidant also.
Yeah, protector. Helps the cells protect itself.
Garlic.
Everybody should be eating a little bit of garlic and beets every day. I mean, I was going back through some of Dobbin's work, right?
Yeah. Beets are amazing.
The methyl donation that garlic and beets give, kale, right, to the liver.
To the liver.
So it's processing. He's over here grabbing the liver right now.
Yeah. You know, I'm a firm believer that all we are is a liver with legs.
Yeah.
If you keep your liver clean and functioning at a high level, it keeps your blood clean. Guess what keeps your body clean? Your blood. You know, so you really, really want to make sure that your liver is doing what it's supposed to.
Yeah. Say hi to Wendy and
Wanda. Hi, Wendy and Wanda.
Wanda and Misty. Sorry.
And Misty.
Yeah. The screen text is very, very, very small.
Yeah.
So thank you, ladies, for joining us.
Can't see very well.
Thanks for joining us. There's three herbs that I always like to talk about. If we think there is an immune challenge taking place or weakness in the immune system, elderberry, echinacea, and golden seal. That's like a three-legged stool of support for you in a natural way. Now, some of you recently may have been Googling the use of elderberry and its increase of cytokines, its cellular protein, that can be detrimental in a lot of immune cases. When I use that ingredient, I never use it by itself, okay? It's a problem with a lot of these modern-day studies. If you're interested in studies, go to the International Foundation for Nutrition and Health, IFNH.org. Go to the Weston A. Price Foundation. They're the online oldest archivist of everything clinically used nutritionally when they're using whole foods, whole herbs, not pieces of. Like Craig said earlier, that's why you don't want to use ascorbic acid and call that vitamin C.
That's ascorbic, just the shell.
Yeah, well, ascorbic acid is to vitamin C what the eggshell is to the egg. It's a protective coating. It's a protective agent or element factor to the whole food vitamin C, but it's really more of a delivering from A to B. And once that's delivered and breaks down, then it exposes to that whole food vitamin C, which is actually the healer, the antioxidant, the nutrient that the body wants to use.
Yep.
So ascorbic acid by itself is not the preferred source of vitamin C that your body wants to use to restore, rebuild, and repair and protect itself.
Another really good thing that you can do is try to get some, if you have access to, like thymus glandulars.
Yes.
Because
licorice. Yeah.
They help with the thymus gland, which for a long time, medical doctors thought that it went away when we were adults, and they've discovered that it hasn't. And one of the things that it does...
That's actually in the literature. Yeah. He's absolutely right. In the 50s, we were taught the thymus gland atrophied and died at puberty. In the 80s...
They discovered it...
30-plus years later, they discovered...
Whoops,
we made a mistake. Thymus gland actually regulates the body's immune system responses.
It actually sends things where it's supposed to go.
Yeah. You know? And it's so critical for immune system performance.
To keep that thymus in good working order.
Yeah. What else you got?
Let's see. Some of the other things that you can look at is cranberry. Mm-hmm. And, let's see. Well.
Because cranberry is referred to as bioflavonoids. Phytonutrients, plant-based nutrients that actually protect the mucous membrane of the cells.
Anything, pretty amazing.
Hey, Daniel!
That can promote immune strengthening.
Yes.
You want to get into your system. I mean, eating good green leafy vegetables, eating good quality fruit, any form of vegetables, the darker the colors.
Dark green leafy cruciferous family of vegetables. So your kale, your broccoli, your spinach, the Brussels sprouts. Ooh.
Yeah.
I cannot eat Brussels sprouts, but your liver, because it donates, it helps the body's ability to methylate. It's a methyl donor, right? It helps the liver perform so well. So Brussels sprouts, licorice or licorice root. Thank you, Susan, licorice root. Thank you for the correction, you're right. Licorice roots are great glandular. For adrenal, especially when there's cough, adrenals are in play. Mm-hmm. If there's allergy sensitivities, yes. Environmental pollutants, almost or food sensitivities, that then you definitely have the licorice root for adrenal support, because it helps with the cough and it helps support normal histamine responses, mm-hmm. through the portal vein off the liver, from the adrenals also when it comes to cough and clearing that up. So thank you for correcting me. Or I guess I left some of it out.
If you have allergies, what that does is it already starts to cause a little bit of inflammation in here, and then you pick up some kind of bug that comes on top of it. And if you're susceptible to bronchitis, then you're set up for the perfect storm. You know, so you want to pay attention to those allergies. You want to pay attention to what you're eating. You want to pay attention to what you're drinking.
Yeah.
Like milk and coffee, creamers and coffees. A lot of people don't think, you know, I know. I drink.
No, I want to talk about your Swiss Miss.
Oh,
what
yeah.
You quit.
What I used to do.
This is why he had bronchitis. He's going to tell you his story right now.
One of the main reasons.
The main reason. Listen to this diet.
My diet was horrible. You know, because, I mean, I was a construction worker. And one of the main things that I loved was Swiss Miss in my coffee. And I would drink a pot of coffee with, you know, 4, 5, 6 packets of Swiss Miss, so I'd have my chocolate flavor, you know, along with a lot of other things. I mean, I ate ice cream all the time, and I drank milk all the time.
Very mucusy-based diet is what he's saying.
And
that was 15 years ago, 12, 15 years ago.
And I used to have bronchitis. I used to get bronchitis attacks a couple of times a year.
Every year.
You know, after the first year of being with Dan and working on this stuff, I had one attack the next year. And then it took almost 3 years before I had another attack. And then there was like a 5-year gap. And then I had one just about 6 months ago. I had a real bad flare-up with my lungs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of that was because of my diet. I mean, me personally, I'm pretty sure that that's what it was, because I live in an environment where I don't eat as well as I used to. And so
I have to
change my diet.
Nobody's perfect, right? I maintain, and this is what we got from, I learned this from April. I heard it from April or Becca through April, and I agree with it 100%. This is my version of it, and it's that I keep my diet pretty consistently about 90% on point or better all the time. I've been keeping personal food logs since May 4th, 2019, and I can tell you exactly, if for anybody that asks, I'll be happy to post you a snapshot picture of what I've had, everything that I've eaten today, and in terms of the amount of macros, the carbs, the total carb, calorie intake, whatever,
mm-hmm.
All those different sources, everything. I can snapshot and post if you ask. I don't say that to brag. I'm just trying to impress upon you this, that for me, for my accountability as a practitioner, if I'm maintaining 90% or greater on a daily basis and can show you back for almost the past year, every day, what my consumption was, you just pick a date and I can post it, then it's not above me to ask at least 80% or so from compliance for my clients,
mm-hmm.
right? So I'm not out of line. I'm not out of line by asking you to do something I'm already doing.
Yeah.
At all.
I know. I usually stay around 75,
you're a
75-25
guy, 80-20. Right.
You know,
yeah.
And that's because I'm old and I'm kind of stuck in my ways about certain things.
That's called an excuse. Just so you know, everybody watching and listening on Total Wellness Radio podcast, that's an excuse. Hey, Dacre. Hey, Carolyn, Jody, thanks for joining us.
And one of the things that I try to impress upon my clients is... do the best you can. It takes time to get to where you
time,
can consistently eat 80-20
exactly.
or better.
It takes 6 to 9 months.
Just to get...
for most people of close monitoring to correct this one thing. But 80% of everything they're suffering from will clear up drastically, noticeably, long term, if they can maintain about an 80-20 ratio.
Yeah.
So let's get rid of dairy products, sugar, eggs, starches in this condition, and not all of it forever. That's the other thing, too. people hear us say, you need to, you know, knock off the eggs and the yogurt. Hmm. And then instantly their mind goes, oh, no, I can't ever have it again. No, that's not what we said.
It's just for now. A period of time.
For now. Let's give the body a break.
Another thing is like nightshades. If you're having chronic inflammation in the lungs, yep. you've got to get that inflammation down. So you want to stay away from nightshades, which would drive me nuts because I love peppers. And I don't mean just the hot ones. I mean just regular chili peppers because of my chili and stuff like that. I love those Cindy's things.
Hey, Larissa.
And tomatoes.
Hi, Larissa. Cindy, thank you for that. It really is a thing. Yes.
I do the best I can when I'm suffering from anything that's doing lung, that has to do with lungs. Yep. I stay away from mucus-causing foods.
Yep.
And inflammation causes
the dairy,
foods.
The sugar. Sugar is to inflammation what gas is to a fire.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever sit around a fire and threw a little gas on it, it just flares it up. It really makes it hot. Short period of time, but it really is not comfortable, right? That's what sugar does in an inflammatory case. So,
and
knock off the sugars.
You know, dairy to mucus.
Yeah.
Dairy to mucus.
Yep.
You know, it's the same thing. It's throwing gasoline on a fire, you know.
Increase spicy foods, cayenne,
mm-hmm.
hot peppers, horseradish, right? These are foods that really dilate, improve circulation, mm-hmm. open up those bronchial pathways.
Also
allow
helps
that,
bowel movements to cleanse out.
Also helps the bowels to cleanse out. So cayenne pepper. Drink. There's two rules of thumb on water.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a technique, and I'm going to share all three. Comments here. Number one, in the wintertime, drink 1/2 ounce of water per pound of body weight every day. Other beverages don't count in that factor. That's standalone consumption. Summertime, it's getting warmer. We're getting more sunshine. We're going to be out moving, right?
You're going to be sweating more.
So 1 ounce per pound of body weight daily is the ideal for flushing the body toxins properly, for hydrating the cells, for staying healthy, okay? That's the 1 ounce thing. Now, the third point is, here's how to stay hydrated when your consumption needs to go up. Here's what most people do. They go to the kitchen, they grab a glass of glass, they fill it up with water, go, slam it down, and then go off about their deal for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever, until they got to pee.
Mm-hmm.
And then flushed right through.
Yep.
Every 15 minutes, big sip, mouthful of water, swish, swallow. Every 15 minutes throughout all your waking hours, you will easily consume 80, 100, 120, 130 ounces of water, depending on how many hours you're up for the day. My days usually start around 4 or 5 in the morning. I'm moving, and I start with a big glass of water to start things going, okay? And then I'm constantly sipping on water all day long, okay? So that's how you hydrate and get the benefit from it, okay?
One of the other things you can do when you are in the congested state of this is you can put hot packs on your chest.
Yeah, you know those rice things? This is the only time that a microwave oven really is worth anything. The rest of the time is not worth nothing, okay? Is those rice bags, those bags that you can heat,
mm-hmm.
kind of heat them up. I don't know is that a rice bag that you put in a microwave?
Yeah.
You put it in a microwave?
Mm-hmm.
Anyways. And this is one of John Christopher's remedies that he used to use. You take one of those great big white hot onions, cut it in half, lay it flat on a like a cookie tin or a tray
mm-hmm.
in the oven at 300, 350, and watch it. You want to get that nice and moist. You don't want it to cook, but you want to get the nice and hot to releasing those vapors, to releasing those resins out of that onion. Put a small towel over the chest. Take them out while they're still warm, fairly warm, hot. Hey, Andra, thanks for joining us. And then put them on that area, and then you're breathing them in, and you're letting it penetrate into the tissue. You will do amazing things to clear up bronchial congestion, inflammation, cough, discomfort, soreness. Amazing what you can do with that.
Humidifiers can also be fairly beneficial.
We actually run a humidifier in the classroom right now mm-hmm. to help alleviate airborne bacterias yep. and bugs and things of that nature.
You know, and there's some oils that you can add to it that yep. that help a lot, you know, like peppermint and things yep. like that. Anything that's, yep. you know, like eucalyptus, because yep. it's got a lot of mentholatum
yeah.
type properties. Well,
it breaks up those bronchioles, but just small amounts, especially in a humidifier, because that can overwhelm you.
Yeah.
Can create some other,
I'm talking a drop or two.
In
a humidifier.
Everybody, thank you so much. We're gonna call it a quit. We gotta go back
and avoid smoking.
Yeah, avoid
smoking
as best you can.
For all of those and clients that
you Chris,
have,
thanks for joining us, brother.
Anybody that does smoke, don't smoke when this is going on with you.
So our next, let's see, this is 22nd. Craig, what is that? Is it prostate health? It is
prostate.
The 29th of April, Wednesday, Country Doctor Wellness Wednesday. We're gonna be talking about prostate health. It's a well-known fact in America. If you go to a medical doctor, they'll tell men, if you live long enough, it's not a question of if or to what degree. It's just a question. It's not a question of if. It's just when you will develop some kind of stress there. So we're going to go into that in detail. We might make Craig do that one with us again on that one as well. Maybe give Becca a break 2 weeks in a row. Who knows?
Whatever she wants.
So tune in to Total Wellness Radio. This podcast will be up in its entirety by the end of the day on iTunes, Spotify, and all the major podcasting platforms. Thank you so much for making us a part of your day. We appreciate you guys. Thanks for tuning in.
Have a wonderful
post questions, post comments, and also post requests, the different topics you'd like us to cover on future segments of Country Doctor Wellness Wednesday. Take care, guys. Well, that'll do it for this episode of Total Wellness Radio. Thanks again for tuning in. And for more information, be sure and catch us on Facebook Live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Mountain Time at the Country Doctor Nutritional Center Facebook page. Until next time, thank you so much for tuning in.